A few years ago, I watched a movie, and there were two grown men talking in the movie, and they were having a religious conversation, and one of the mature men said to the other one, "Do you believe in the Pentecost?" And the other one said, "Well, I don't know, but my mother has always said to me, we are waiting for the Pentecost." And with my own background in scripture study and things that I have done, that struck a chord with me, because we're not waiting for the Pentecost. That person had it completely wrong, and the mother who passed that message on had it completely wrong. We are not waiting for the Pentecost. It has occurred. It was a moment in historical time, if you like, and it continues on in this day. So we celebrate it as part of the church's liturgical calendar in accordance with the ancient tradition. So today, as I said at the beginning of Mass, we conclude Eastertide. It finishes today. And we therefore celebrate what some would say was the birthday of the church, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Next weekend, we go into the Trinity. So we're starting to go through the creed, if you like. And that's always helpful, to look at what is the liturgy of the church, and then we start to understand how it applies in our life. So it's important to understand, I think anyway, the little bit of background behind Pentecost. Now, the simplest version to understand is that pente, meaning 50 from the Greek, and cost of the day. So 50th day after Easter. That's the bottom line. So if you're on my Trivial Pursuit team for the Catholic Games, and if you said that, you would be correct. However, it is actually linked to the ancient feasts that the Hebrews celebrated. And they celebrated these at the time of Jesus, and it helps recall their personal history. They were an agricultural people, so they had three major agricultural feasts, which are part of the unfolding of their personal history. The first of those was what was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, unleavened bread was what was used when the angel of the Lord passed over the Hebrews in Egypt before Moses led them out. No time to put leaven in to make the bread rise. This is a meal eaten in haste. And so the angel of the Lord passed over those that had the marks on the blood of the lamb on the door. Passover. So that was their first feast, was the Feast of Passover. Fast forward, that becomes our Easter. Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Easter. So that becomes our Eastertide. The second of the agricultural feasts connected with Pentecost is what is known as the Feast of Weeks. Now that, according to Scripture, took place 7 weeks, about 50 days, after Moses led the people out of Egypt. They went to Mount Sinai, and that was where Moses received the Ten Commandments. So the Feast of Weeks became known as, for the Hebrews, it was known as Shavuot. And that is the 50th day, and that is the first Pentecost, if you like. So the Christian church absorbed that celebration from the Hebrew tradition into Passover, into the connecting it to Passover. And then the third agricultural feast was what was known as the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tents, or the Feast of Tabernacles. The word tabernacle actually just means tent. And that is to remind the people, the Hebrew people, that how they lived through the desert for those 40 years. So that celebration, they built little booths and they would sleep in them overnight, for example. So that was also connected to the feast that was celebrated at the end of the first harvest, the cereal harvest, and then at the feast for, or the time when they celebrated the first grapes, so the first vintage. So they brought together their agricultural history, and the church absorbed that culture as any conquering nation does, in a sense. They move in and little bits of the culture start to blend together. So in our tradition, we have what is called Pentecost, 50th day, connecting to our Hebrew tradition. That all comes from St. Luke. And if you read that, the Acts of the Apostles, which is his second gospel in one sense, we start to get an historical understanding. So that unleavened bread, the Passover, is very important. That's where we get the word Pasch, which is where we get Paschal candle from. It means Easter in the Christian context. And we talk about the Paschal mystery. It's connected to the Passover. It's connected to the giving of the commandments. And it's connected to those feasts of first things, first fruits, from cereal to the vintages. It brings it all together. And, of course, that brings in the Eucharistic dimension that we attach also in our liturgy. Now, that's the historical connection with Pentecost in the Christian tradition. But if you read Luke's version in Acts, you actually get a very precise account of what occurred. But just remember that when Easter occurred, these three feasts were celebrated in Jerusalem primarily. So it became a pilgrimage site. So the Jews from all around the Mediterranean, around the world, would have come to Jerusalem at that time. Jerusalem, at the time of Passover, would have been abuzz. There would have been hundreds of thousands, a couple of hundred thousand people in Jerusalem, which normally had a population of perhaps about 80,000, roughly. It's hard to tell. So it swole. It became an economic hotbed. People made their living from these pilgrimage feasts. So if we remember that Jesus was condemned and then crucified and rose from the dead, in the middle of this seething mass of people and economic exchange, it starts to change what's going on. So Luke puts in there all the countries of and the peoples of that time. So he talks about Jesus fulfilling his promise, sending the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that is that they spoke in different tongues. Now, my understanding that I've always felt more comfortable with is that the Holy Spirit just didn't say to somebody, "You're now going to speak in Cretan or Parthian." My understanding is that those gifts of the languages, those gifts of the tongues, were all within those people. The difficulty was that nobody could understand each other. And Luke tells us that they actually started to understand each other in their different languages. A great way of understanding the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit possesses the key, if you like, that unlocks the gifts that are within each and every one of us. So there are two elements in Pentecost that I think are hugely important. The first is witness, and it's mentioned twice in scriptures. We witness to what it is that we believe. We actually witness the beauty of the relationship and the strength of the relationship between God as Father and God as the Son. We'll celebrate this next weekend, Trinity. The love and the dynamism between God the Father and the Son is so overwhelming, it spills over. That is the Holy Spirit, alive and active in our lives. How does it manifest itself? As St. Paul says, it manifests itself in those nine gifts which our confirmation children picked up on during their studies for confirmation. Those nine gifts are love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, truthfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Take that bulletin home and circle those nine gifts. They are within you. They are within me. My sin is when I choose not to exercise them. Our sin as a community is when we choose not to exercise them. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what we call the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When we live the life that we want to witness to God, loving the Father and the Father loving the Son, when we want to witness to that, we produce those fruits. That's what they're called in Scripture. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The world would be a very different place if we truly brought forward those fruits. And that brings into view now my second point with Pentecost. Witnessing is firstly through those fruits, and we must share those things. They are not for us to keep to ourselves. The grace of the Holy Spirit unlocks within us the ability to bring to the world the beauty that we possess because we believe, and we want so much to share in that love of the Father and the Son. And we want so much to receive what spills over, which is what we call grace. And it is grace that allows us to conquer all things negative in the world. It is grace that allows us to celebrate great joys in the world. It is grace that allows us to try our very best to unify ourselves in what it is that we believe. Grace is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Grace is the gift of Pentecost.